past few weeks covered a number of things regarding this period of time that we're in and what's going on, like you could say, behind the scenes. We're going to start off in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, the previous weeks, and I'm obviously not going to go through the entirety of the review of those weeks. If you weren't here, there are CDs available and you can get them. But basically, it started off with the Matthew 15, we won't turn there, verse 14, where the Lord said, they be leaders of the blind, therefore let the blind lead the blind. They'll both wind up or fall into the ditch. We read in Revelation 17 that there is a manifestation of the religious system during the tribulation, and it's referred to as the great whore. And then we went over to Proverbs 23, where it says, a whore is a deep ditch. Therefore, the religious system is the ditch that the Lord was talking about in Matthew chapter 15. The blind lead the blind, they'll both wind up in the ditch. They're going to go into the religious system. 2 Thessalonians gives us insight to today. In other words, what all that other stuff was about was the present time of the Lord, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the time of the tribulation. Well, between those times, we've got the dispensation of the grace of God. So what is working during this time today? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, that's the day of Christ, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. What is he going to do? Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now, on the board, below happy birthday, go here, the ministry of Christ. They'll both wind up in the ditch. You go out here, we're going to just draw a line here for now. You got the tribulation that the Lord warned them about, the abomination of desolation. That's the one that's going to sit in the temple, the man of sin, son of perdition, and declare himself to be God. The Lord will return and set up the kingdom over here. As he returns, and the tribulation will come to a close with the battle of Armageddon there. The Thessalonians were concerned. Here we have the dispensation of the grace of God in here, in this time frame here. They were concerned that they were living or going into this time. So he says, don't be soon shaken in mind or spirit, as by a letter from us or anything else, that this day will not take you except there come a falling away first. In other words, during this time of grace, there's going to be a falling away first from the truth. And you see that now taking place. And so the falling away first will take place. Then the man of sin, after the falling away, the man of sin will appear. That's the process. Falling away, we go out, man of sin. Remember you not, when I was yet with you, I told you these things. He already laid it out. But somebody came behind him and corrupted his teaching, Paul's teaching about that. So they're all concerned about it. Now, in verse 6, he says, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. That's the Antichrist. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, what is holding this man of sin? That's the little cross there. That's what that's representing. The man of sin standing in the holy place declaring himself to be God. What is holding his time back is us being here. As long as we're here, the tribulation can't and won't come. We're not going into the tribulation, folks. We're not going to do it. We are going, right now, we are hindering his manifestation. And during this time, the great whore will have the entire world wrapped around her, she will be the ditch. And everybody is going to fall into that ditch. Not everybody. They got 144,000 and things of that nature. But the world will fall into this thing. So what Paul is saying is we, the body of Christ, is letting or letteth. It's hindering his manifestation. But Paul gave a warning. He gave a warning about this in verse 7. Look in verse 7. He says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." The mystery of iniquity, he says, is already at work. In other words, it's manifested here in the Antichrist, but he's saying it's at work right now. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. So in the time frame that we're living in, it's simple to say you have salvation just simply believing in Jesus Christ, no works involved. Just simply believing you have salvation. But with the mystery of iniquity at work, the devil's going to throw in works. And that's who we're up against today. Matter of fact, the word iniquity literally means unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. It's used in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So turn to 2 Corinthians and look at it in chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You're not straightening us, but you're straightening your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged." Now watch this. This is the problem at Corinth. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with iniquity?" Unrighteousness. Remember, mystery of iniquity is unrighteousness. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, the Corinthians, what did they do? They went back into that religious system of their time. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. This thing has been working since Paul got saved, and it works right through the grace time here. Now remember, the man of sin, he's going to oppose everything pertaining to God. So if you're saved by grace through faith without works, and the devil opposes that, then what's he going to put in there? He's going to put works in for salvation. So Paul says, what kind of fellowship can righteousness have with unrighteousness? You can't have that. We are made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. So why are you going to gather and assemble with someone that says you can lose your salvation? Because there's nothing between righteousness and unrighteousness. You're either righteous by faith in Christ or you're unrighteous. You don't have it. There's no in between. You're not working on it. It's like I always say pregnancy. Either you is or you ain't. That's it. There's no between there. There's righteousness and there's unrighteousness. So what fellowship can you have with unrighteousness if you're righteous, is what he's asking. And then in verse 15 he says, "And what concord had Christ with Belial?" The word Belial, the Hebrews use that word, and it really means worthlessness. And it was another name for Satan, Belial. And they accused Christ in his time of being a servant of Belial. They basically called him the devil. So he says, "And what concord has Christ with Belial?" The word concord, obviously not used too much in our vocabulary today, but the word concord means harmony or agreement. What kind of harmony are you going to have with Christ and Belial being joined together? What kind of harmony are you going to have? I think about a guy, he's a conductor, and he's got this orchestra there, and they're playing classical music, and he's conducting the orchestra. I mean, he's pulling the strings up when they need. He's got the horns and the percussions. And I mean, it's a beautiful sound. Then all of a sudden, the guy on the trombone decides, you know what? I'm going to start playing when the saints go marching in. Right in the middle of it. Now, don't you think that would stand out like a sore thumb? Would it break the harmony? Absolutely. Paul says, look, we've got harmony. I want you to have harmony in this thing. You can't be joined up with unrighteousness. You can't be joined up with Belial, that system, the mystery of iniquity that already work. You can't get joined up with that and have harmony. Paul's desire was everyone to have harmony, concord. Look at a couple of examples in Philippians. Turn over to Philippians. Look at his desires here. In Philippians chapter 1, his desire for the harmony here. Verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Now watch this. That you stand fast in one spirit, concord, all together, one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, all in harmony, that you're all working in harmony. Chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. It's the harmony that he wants to have. And he's saying, look, Corinthians, you were established in Jesus Christ. You were made the righteousness of God by faith in Christ. What are you doing going out to the unrighteous? What are you doing having fellowship with the... He's not talking about going to ball games. He's not talking about going to work with lost people. He's talking about that religious system that's working today. He's talking about church. They had churches back there. They had churches that worshiped anything from animals to imaginary people that they called saints, angels, things of that nature. He says, what are you doing? Being joined up. You think you have concord? You think that's harmonious? No, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And so Paul rebukes them in 2 Corinthians for doing this. You know, I think about the people, and there are many, that had been saved by the grace of God, established, brought to church, not just when I've been preaching, but even during the years that Obed preached, and they'd come to church, they'd learn the Word of God, come to church for a period of time, and then up and leave and go join another church because it provided some program either for them or their kids. Well, I'm about programs. I like them. But somewhere in there, you've got to make a judgment call. Because when you expose yourself by sitting out there to the preacher in that system, you're saying, okay, you give me God's wisdom. You teach me God. And if it don't line up, if it's not harmonious with Paul's writings, it's exactly what God told you to get out of. Come out from among them and be ye separate. I know that there are people, Christians, that are so fundamental about this, that they think when it's come out from among them that you can't hardly go anywhere in our society because there could be lost people. That's not what he's writing about. I mean, I find it funny that those that have that belief hold a job. Wonder why that is. Maybe because they need money. I find it funny that those that hold to that position go shopping for food. I wonder why that is. Because they have to have it. But they get on their high horse and talk about, oh, you can't go out there. You can't go do... Folks, we're to go to them to get them out of the religious system and bring them into the body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. Tell them about the Lord. Show them something they've never seen before. You're the products of it. No one in here was born saved and grew up with a natural knowledge of the Word of God. You had to get saved. Then you had to be taught. But you don't take yourself and leave out of the Grace Church and go sit and say, all right, preacher, preach to me, because, boy, you've got a stage presence there. I love the way he delivers the message. I've had people come up to me and say, I watched so-and-so, the preacher, on television the other day. Yeah? Oh, I just love listening to him. And I'm thinking, when I listen to him, I think, is his words in harmony with the Word of God? You see, you can't know the preacher and whether he is truly a man of God unless you know the Word of God. Any man can get up here and just pull out scripture and tell you stories, folks. But you've got to go into the book, know the book, so you can know the man. And when I hear people go, I listen to so-and-so preach, I just love his delivery. I'm like, do you realize what he's delivering you? You know, Paul calls it in Philippians chapter 3, dung. You like that delivery? There's a joke in there somewhere. You like that delivery? Because that's what it is. That's what Paul is telling the Corinthians. Come out from among them and be ye separate. This thought of, I'll take this knowledge and go in there and I'll convert them. I'll get them to see the truth. Don't work. It doesn't work. How in the world are you going to lead the faith and go in there and think you're going to teach the faith and convince them of the truth staying in there? It's not going to happen. But the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And he's very powerful. And he's got a system out there and he's very deceptive. And you can't just by your own eyes identify his people. Turn back to 2 Corinthians, but go to chapter 11. It's Halloween. Any of y'all see people dressed up like devils? What are they dressed up with? Red suit, horns, pitchfork, and a tail, right? Yeah, that's the devil. Oh, I see you, devil. Well, let's see if we see the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Go down to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into somebody wearing a red outfit with a pitchfork and horns, right? Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of light. I mean, he's not the dark one. He doesn't want to be identified as the dark one. He wants to come across as light. Therefore, verse 15, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They're transformed. So how do you know who it is? You know, it makes me think about when you have an illness and the doctors have got to take a specimen from you and send it off for lab work. And usually a lot of times the lab work involves microscopes because what they're dealing with is not visible to the naked eye. I mean, you have to have it magnified to see what is the ailment. What is your problem? To see exactly what's working inside of you causing the illness. Well, folks, these ministers of the devil transform themselves. And you've got to be able to recognize them. And the only way you can do it is with this microscope, a King James Bible. That's the only way you can do it. Because they're not going to come across as, worship me, I'm the devil, and all that kind of stuff. I think it's absolutely hysterical when I see bands, you know, music bands, that come across as devil bands. I'm like, are you kidding me? The devil wouldn't even have anything to do with you. Just an idiot is what you are. No, the devil's a sweet talker. Enticing word. He is full of wisdom, the Bible says. He's a great speaker. He entertains the masses. He captivates them. And he provides a program for them. He provides the program so that weak Christians will go, the Grace Church doesn't have this, so I'm going there. A weak Christian will say that. A strong one will go, hey, I'm going where the truth is being preached. And if you, listen to me, you got kids and you love your kids, the best thing you can do is bring them here. I mean, look, it ain't getting no better. It's going to get worse. And I think about the kids that raised up in the religious system, always knowing about Jesus, but never having a time in their life where they trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You bring kids in here, they're going to know they have to get saved. We've had good teachers here and still do. And if you love your kids, you ought to expose them to that. Whether it's 2, 4, 6 kids back there, whether they got programs or not, they're going to be exposed to the truth. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is a bad world awaiting them. You want to just throw them out there without the truth being exposed to them? And I feel sorry for the people that's left the Grace Church and brought their kids and their family and themselves there. I feel sorry for them. I'll laugh at them. I feel sorry. Because one day we're going to be out of here. And there's something called the judgment seat of Christ. All the things you've done, whether they be good or bad, are going to be presented before the Lord. And it's a time for opportunity where you can get your rewards for what you've done here. Well, what kind of rewards is an individual going to get when they had fellowship with unrighteousness? I mean, imagine this. Imagine there's 2 podiums here, one here and one here. And you got 2 preachers here. I'm over here, he's over there. And I'm quoting Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And just going to town about being saved by grace through faith without works. It's a gift of God that you're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So my preacher over here preaches to you, I break a minute, and he tells you you've got to be justified by keeping the law. You got to live right, do right, follow Jesus, get baptized, repent and confess your sins for salvation. You telling me that these two messages are in concord one with the other? No way. So what happens when you go to a church where they do a lot of preaching about Jesus, but the end result is when you really hold the preacher's feet to the fire and you say, what exactly do I need to do to be saved? Well, you need to believe in Jesus. Oh, that's it? Oh, well, now, let's not get carried away like the grace churches over there. Well, what else is it? Well, I mean, you got to show Jesus your faith. Well, how's that? You need to be baptized. Okay? So then I'm saved. I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, now let's not get carried away with that, like that other church, that grace church over there. We got one on Blue Bonnet that does it every day on his radio program. I listen to him. He talks about the cross and the blood and the death of Jesus and Redeemer of mankind. But buddy, you better live it to keep it. I have no fellowship with him because he's working unrighteousness over there. The devil opposes everything pertaining to God. Therefore, if we do have a Jesus and we do that died for all of our sins, was buried and raised again the third day, if he opposes God, is he going to present this Jesus to you? No, but he'll present another Jesus. And you know what his name is? Jesus. I mean, what do you think? He's going to present another Jesus. His name is going to be Jesus. But you're not going to know the specifics of this, of the real Jesus, because he's going to present an opposing view. Yeah, oh, you got to believe this. But once you believe, oh, you got to show it. You got to let that inward faith that you can't see, you got to let it be exposed and be evident to people. And so if you're not presenting that type of fruit, then you must be lost. Well, I'm all about presenting the fruit of your labor, the fruit of your salvation. But if someone gets saved and goes off and lives their life to themselves, then they're saved, period. Don't have to walk in church again. And that's another reason why they won't present that. Because right now, I preach salvation. It's a free gift. All you have to do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. And folks, at that point, all of you know in the back of your minds that you never have to come to this church again and you're still saved. You know it. And for a preacher, you better take your antacids on a regular basis. Because like I said, I've been blued out a lot. Not booed. Probably been booed out too, but I've been blued out with the chairs. Because we have people that see salvation is free. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. Why do I need to get up and go to church? So we can have fellowship, folks. So we can spend a little bit of our time around the Word of God. And we can do something like we did Friday night for the kids. And those kids enjoyed it, okay? They have an excitement about things that go on in church. We sometimes have a different mindset, and that's unfortunate. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it ain't getting any better, but Christ is in us. He tells us by this word, Christ dwells in our heart, and that's the one that works in everything we do for him. So when the odds or the situations rise up against us, just remember, it's rising up against the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. Not us. Not us. We can get it accomplished and we can assemble for Christ's sake as long as we desire to. Where's your desire? Where's your desire? Where's your desire to witness? Invite people to church? Say, I invite them, they don't come. That's the times we're living in, folks. I mean, that's just how it is. But there's somebody out there yet to be saved because we're still here. When this body gets filled up, we're out of here. And maybe you're sitting in here, and doggone it, you're holding us up because you need to get saved, and you're the last one. If that's the case, get saved, and I'm going to put a knot right upside down. Just kidding. Mark's like, did you hear what he said? He's going to hit somebody. Just kidding. You got to know me a little bit. But it could be someone here. You've never trusted in Christ. Known about him, just never trusted. Why don't you do that today? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved you. Died on the cross for you, was buried. That's what they do with dead people. But God, through the exceeding greatness of his power, raised him up the third day and gave him eternal life. And it will go to you if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.